sure I remember that night. It was right in the middle of one of the most busy runs we have ever had. The Emperor Augustus had commanded that all of his subjects be counted, and counted in their hometowns, no less. And so everyone was coming back to Bethlehem and looking for a place to stay. Now, a lot of people stayed with their families in homes, but if they had no room or if there was too much family, well, then a guy like me can really clean up. And boy, did I ever. So many people wanted a room. Talk about peak pricing. Mwah! Perfect. But that night, something happened that I will never forget. This road-weary couple came up to my door asking if I could squeeze them in. My immediate response was, yeah, right, we've already got people triple booked. But something about them made me think that I should make room. Partly it was because she was very pregnant. Partly, it was because I didn't want to sleep on the couch if my wife found out I turned that poor pregnant girl away. So, I invited them in and gave them a place to stay with our animals. It was the best I could do on short notice, but at least it was something. And while they were there, the time came for this baby to be born, and she gave birth to a boy, and she took strips of cloth and wrapped him up in it and laid him in a manger, because, well, what else were they going to put him in? It's not like they had a pack-and-play cradle with them. And that's when the weird stuff started to happen. I took some water to them, some blankets, and when I did, I couldn't help but stare at this child. He was mesmerizing, captivating, even with his little hair messed up stuck on his head. He was a handsome baby. And so I asked the father, Joseph, what's his name? Jesus, he replied, because he will save his people from their sin. Oh boy, I thought. A religious nut. He's going to save his people from his sin. Sure, buddy, whatever you say. And then the weird things kept happening. I couldn't sleep, so I looked out the window, and there was this bright light illuminating the countryside. And I know that this is going to sound crazy, but there was this sound in the air, almost as if angels were singing. It was incredible. And people started knocking on my door, and I went to open it thinking there is absolutely no way we are going to cram another bunch of people in here. And yet there at the door were a bunch of shepherds, hooks and crooks and all, and they looked at me a little sheepishly and they said, "Do you by any chance have a baby in your house lying in a manger? We heard some angels in the field say that the Savior was born, and we were trying to find him, and you are the last place on the block." Well, normally, if a bunch of shepherds showed up at my door, first thing I would do is boot them to the curb. You cannot trust a shepherd. Their goat's milk's just a little too ripe, if you know what I'm saying. And yet here, in my house, in the town of David, was a child in a manger named "He Will Save His People from Their Sin," and a group of people looking specifically for him. I took a step back. I let them in. They brushed past me, and immediately they saw the child, and they fell on their faces, laughing and crying. They were clearly moved by what they were seeing. They kept talking about David and a promise that God has made to his people and this child. They seemed to think that this child was a king. And I guess if he was in Bethlehem, he could be a king. Of course, why would a king be born in a manger? About half an hour later, they poured out into the street, singing songs to one another, making a racket like you've never heard. And then not long after, more people at my door. More people who had heard the shepherd's song. They had shepherds stop at their door before looking for the baby in the first place. And all of a sudden, all of Bethlehem descended on my little inn. They wanted a glimpse at this newborn king. I have to admit that when I looked into his eyes, he seemed to be more than just a baby in a manger. He seemed majestic, destined for greatness, and yet here he was, swaddling cloth, and laid in my animal's food trough. I'll tell you what, though. Let me step back. Think about what I was living for. Not a religious man here, but I'll never forget what that grizzled old shepherd said to me on the way out the door. This guy looked like he had never spent a day of his life inside. He left tears streaming from his face, and he said, "Meeting Jesus changes everything." I think he might be right. I kind of want to find out more.
When you live out in the fields for most of your life, you get used to the unexpected. But nothing could have prepared me for what happened that night. My crew and I, mostly sons and neighbors, were living out in the fields around Bethlehem, keeping watch over our flocks that night. It wasn't easy work, and it didn't win us no favors with the city folk. But it was a living. We had a pretty big herd of sheep, and it took a lot of us to keep an eye on them. At night, though, we could stop and get some shut-eye, so we would take turns staying up throughout the night, making sure that the sheep didn't wander away. Well, that night, I just finished my turn on guard and was settling down to take a long winter's nap. I gathered up some grass to lay my head on and closed my eyes, only to sit bolt upright when a blinding light flashed across the sky. All of us immediately, we jumped up on our feet to see what it was, and then immediately fell on our faces. There, right before our eyes, was an angel of the Lord. No word of a lie, it was there. An angel right there in front of us. Why were we ever scared? Nobody lives to see an angel and tells about it. Certainly not a bunch of ruffians like we shepherds. And then the angel spoke to us. Its voice was soft but powerful, like a ewe calling her lamb. It said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you great news. Great joy that will be for everyone. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." Now listen, I wouldn't call myself a religious man, but I knew enough from my mother's knee to know what he meant. A king like David had been born, a deliverer had come after all these years. Anyways, that was good news, and it would bring great joys. But how would we find him, we thought. And as if it was on cue, the angel continued, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Well, now, that didn't seem right. A Savior born of David doesn't get born in a manger. He gets born in a palace. And yet, as if to jolt me out of my disbelief, the angel was suddenly accompanied by a whole host of angels. Heaven's armies arrayed to announce the king. And with a voice, They echoed across the hills and they praised the Lord, singing, "Glory in excelsis Deo! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor rests." And just as quickly as it had come,
they were gone.
And it was just us staring across the fire at one another, the sheep softly lowering in the background as if nothing has happened. But something had happened. What had happened? We looked at one another. That wasn't a dream, was it? My eldest son pinched me. No, that was no dream. I felt that pinch, so it was no dream. My youngest said, "Well, we got to go. We just got to go. We got to get there. We got to find out how to get there. A new king, a new David. This I got to see." "Well, we just can't go and see him," I said. "We're farmhands, not highfalutin governors. He won't want to see us. I can't believe it. I just don't think he would ever want to see us shepherds." But then my eldest son said, "We got to go, Dad. We really have to go. They wouldn't tell us if it wasn't so, and if they didn't want us to come. Don't you recall, laid out in a manger, wrapped in cloths? That sounds like us." I stopped to think. No king in his right mind would let a shepherd see his son. We couldn't even testify in court, let alone enter the palace. And yet these angels had appeared and told us whereabouts to find him. My neighbors agreed. "You guys go. We'll stay in here and look after the sheep. And then when you've come back, we'll go if you find anything." Against my better judgment, we went. But then, how do we find a baby in a town the size of Bethlehem? My youngest found a way. He started banging on the door. "Is there any baby here? Is there any baby here?" I scolded him. "You just can't knock at doors and ask if they have had a baby." And yet, he kept going until the last house on the road. More an inn, really. He knocked at the door, and a tired-looking old man, the innkeeper, came forward. He tried to hide his disgust on his face when he saw us, because we're only shepherds. But his son plowed on. "You don't by any chance have a baby in this house, do you? Born tonight, lying in a manger? Do you? We heard these angels in the field saying that the Savior was born and we're trying to find him." You could tell by the look on his face that we found him. The innkeeper slowly opened the door to us and let us in. There, by the manger, lit with candles, was a boy, the son of David, the king. God had kept his promise. I swallowed hard and a tear started to form in my weathered cheeks. My grandfather had always told me that a king would come. A son of David would put things right. And he told me about these legendary heroes, about David who slew the giant, and Solomon was wise and rich, and Hezekiah who kept his people fixed on God. And God delivered them from a whole army. Well, he told me that God would do it again and give us a king, and deliver us from Rome. Boy, it hit me like a ton of bricks. This was the king who saved us, the king who'd redeem us. I dropped to my knees and I sobbed. Well, I cried and I laughed and I praised the Lord, and I should be privileged to see such a beautiful child. And then it struck me. I was one of the first to see the child. This king, me. Not a king, not royalty, no higher ups. Me, the bottom of the barrel. A downright nobody. The first person, the people that the king summoned to his side were outcasts. And I swear, he flopped his little head over towards me, opened his eyes. For a brief moment, I looked into the eyes of God. grace, love, mercy, acceptance that washed over me like a flood. Nobody cared about me before. Nobody worried about me. And yet this child made me feel loved, valuable, like I belonged in God's world. Well, we sat for a while longer and then went out to tell the people all around us what we heard. But on the way out the door, Drew, I stopped and looked at the innkeeper right in the eye. Meeting Jesus changes everything, I said. I thought no one loved me, but I know that God does.
All rise for the honorable, the majestic, the awe-inspiring, the merciful King Herod the Great.
He said, all rise.
You may be seated. You may be seated now. I can't believe that anyone else would have the audacity to call themselves a king. I'll show them. There is no king but me, King Herod. The honorable, the majestic, the merciful, the great. I've worked hard for this kingdom. With my own sweat and blood, I've clawed my way to the top. No matter the cost, and now I sit on this throne. Sure, I made a few compromises along the way, even with Rome. And sure, I removed with permanence much of my family. But hey, who wouldn't? Who hasn't? And who needs children when you can have subjects? All of Judea bows to my will. All except for that baby. It wasn't all that long ago that the Magi appeared in my court looking for the newborn king of the Jews. You know those Easterners. Always got their heads in the clouds, searching the skies, reading the stars. Almost as bad as shepherds. They said that they had seen his star and they'd come to worship him. The audacity. The nerve. There is only one king who should be worshipped. That's me. And if there was a new heir to inherit my throne, trust me, I would know about it. But listen, I did not work my way to the top just by brute strength. Sometimes you gotta massage things a little, you know, play the long game. You get more flies with honey, if you know what I mean. So I said, a newborn king, eh? Well, let me find out more so that I can go and worship him too. So I set them off for a few days. And I had my scribes look over the ancient texts to see what they might have inside. And sure enough, they said, the baby will be born in Bethlehem, for out of you will come a shepherd for my people. These people don't need a shepherd. They need someone to shear them. They need someone to fleece them. And I am that someone. And no baby will challenge me for that. So the wise men returned to me, and I said to them, hey, go to Bethlehem and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him with you. I would very much like to give him what he deserves. Well, off they went. Days, weeks, months. That all went by, and no word from these duplicitous philosophers. Those treacherous fools used my resources to find the kid and kept him hidden from me. The nerve. But I showed them. Oh, I showed them good. I showed them lengths I'd go to protect my pride. I gave orders for every child 2 years of age and under to be eliminated by the sword in the vicinity of Bethlehem. Nobody threatens my rule. Nobody. I'm the king here. I make all the decisions. This baby changes nothing. I'm in control, and I am everything. I am the master of my own affairs. I am Herod the Great. I mean, that's what you're here for tonight, right? To celebrate my glory and remember my marvelous deeds. All these years later, I am what you're here for, right?
Growing up, we heard the stories of Rahab and Ruth, outsiders who believed and became the ancestors of King David. We heard the stories of Sarah and Rebecca, how God miraculously enabled these barren women to have children. We knew how God could work through faithful women. I never would have expected to join their ranks. I mean, I was just a kid spinning wool in my father's house when the angel appeared before my eyes. Let me tell you, nothing can prepare you for that. An angel, poof, out of nowhere. A messenger sent from the very presence of God. It's overwhelming. The angel must have been used to that sort of response because he said, "Fear not, Mary, for God's favor is upon you. And he has chosen you to bear a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be the Son of God, and he will rule on David's throne forever." So many thoughts rushed through my mind in that very moment. How will I bear a child? Why have I been chosen? And is this for real? God is finally keeping the promise to David to put his descendant on the throne forever. I mean, our history was littered with David's sons who ruled, some for better and some for worse. But we were still holding out for the big one. And he was to be my son? This was all just so much to process. So I started with the most obvious. How can this be, for I've never been with a man? The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now that was amazing on its own, but then he kept going. "Even your relative Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Those words hit me like a surge of adrenaline. Nothing is impossible with God. I knew that. Did I know that? Did I trust that? I thought about Rahab and Ruth and Sarah and Rebecca and Elizabeth. "You're right," he said. "Nothing is impossible with God, and I am his servant. May it be to me as you have said." And with that, the angel left. And that's when the rubber really hit the road, did I believe it? Did I believe it enough to tell Joseph? Did I believe it enough to tell my father? Be still and know that he is God, I reminded myself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, I reminded myself. These reminders carried me through some of the toughest of times. Now, Joseph was not pleased. He kept it together, but he sent me away, saying that he needed some time to figure out what to do next. I ran away in tears and did the only thing I could think to do. I went to talk to the only person I could think of who might maybe be able to identify with my circumstances, my Aunt Elizabeth. She was miraculously pregnant. I was miraculously pregnant. Surely she would know what to do. I had no idea at the time, but that was the Lord making my path straight. Elizabeth threw open the door and wrapped her arms around me and said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" She said that her child jumped inside of her when she saw me, and moved by the Spirit, she knew that what I said was true. I was bearing the Son of God, and God would accomplish what he had promised. That was all I needed to hear. Waves of faith washed over my anxieties, and I knew that God would carry me through. Not long after that, Joseph sent word to me that the Lord had appeared to him in a dream, and he wanted me back. Faithful Joseph, always wanting to do the right thing, his faith strengthened my faith. And together, we weathered the pregnancy and the scandalous rumors that spread through town. And then, a few weeks before the due date, Joseph came to me and said, "Mary, we need to go on a trip. Our Roman overlords have insisted that we be counted, and so we need to go to Bethlehem." "Are you kidding me?" I thought. I didn't feel like moving from the hearth to the bed mat, let alone going from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But even so, I knew that we could count on God. But then we got to Bethlehem, and no one had room for us. Finally, an innkeeper took us in, but not to a room. Instead, into his house and manger. And it was there that Jesus was born. Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, born to rule with justice now and forevermore. His birth was anything but private. Shepherds appeared, going on about angels. Townsfolk appeared. Everyone wanted to see this baby in a manger. But I just treasured these things in my heart, and I've often thought back to what all had happened. Before the angel appeared, I thought I believed. But then I really had to believe. I had to take that step of faith and experience God's faithfulness for myself. My son will do incredible things, but from the very first I realized Jesus changes everything. Before, I thought that all things were possible with God, but now I know. With Jesus, nothing is impossible, and I can trust him to bring me through.
We've heard from a lot of people tonight, haven't we? The innkeeper, the shepherd, the king, the mother. I wonder if you can identify with any of them. Maybe like the innkeeper, you're not sure what to make of this Jesus stuff. Not too sure where you are on your faith journey. Maybe you're like the shepherd, who's feeling a little left out, a little lonely even, in a world of Instagram perfect people. Maybe you're like the king, totally absorbed in your own little world and reluctant to let anyone, let alone God, have a say in how you live. Maybe you're like Mary, trusting God through difficult times.
You know, Christmas Eve 2,000 years ago, all of those people encountered Jesus for the first time. And this Christmas Eve, whether it is your first time or your 81st time, you are meeting Jesus once again. How are you going to respond? Jesus really does change everything. He brings blessing out of brokenness. He gives rest to the weary. He brings life out of death and gives peace where there is none. He came as a baby in a manger to die on the cross, to forgive our sin, to give us life, to prove God's love for us. How do you respond to that? With gratitude, with love, with resentment, with pride? God came into the world to change things for the better. Let him come and do the same thing in your heart. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for coming as a child, as a humble, powerless infant, to live, to die, to rise again, to give us life. We invite you to come to work in our hearts. Jesus, we ask you to walk with us day by day. And if that is your prayers, say it along with me in your heart. Jesus, I want to walk with you. Thank you for this Christmas, Lord, that we can remember you entering the world that you made to be with us always. Lord, bless us this Christmas and give us eyes to know that it is you who gives the blessing and hearts to say thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.